back. Time to head over to Ireland and talk to Father Paul Kramer about the state of the world, the state of the Vatican, etc. Hello, Father Kramer. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you loud and clear. It's great to be back.
Yeah, you sound like you're right next door here. I found something out the other day. I didn't find it. I watched it being presented. The president of Argentina, Milei, I forget how you pronounce it formally, M-I-L-E-I, Milei. It's short for Milei-Kovsky or something. It's the same last name that Netanyahu has or had.
Oh.
It's his family name. So they could actually be related. It's kind of funny. Anyhow.
It wouldn't surprise me.
No, it wouldn't surprise me either. So, okay, how are you doing? What's up? The Bergoglian revolution continues, I guess, but somewhat at a slower rate or less incendiary rate than it used to be. What's going on?
Well, I wouldn't say at a less incendiary rate. This is the same product in a different package. And actually, Bergoglio is the one who constructed the like a race car, and now this Prevost is the driver, and it's a race car. It's
very
go
good
fast.
Analogy. I get it. I know. I'm very good. Yeah.
Building it took time, but now that it's built, all it needs is a skillful driver, and this is the hand-picked successor.
So this that's actually a fairly good compliment you're handing this guy, that he is that capable, that they would, A, give him the job, and B, expect him to drive the car properly. That is interesting. So he's not a flake. He's fairly substantial, but in his own way, right?
He's a slick operator.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
Now I've been observing and reading reports about what he's doing. He's really moving the revolution faster than Bergoglio.
Oh, really? Sleight of hand, and he's pulling it off.
He's saying things that Bergoglio couldn't say. Maybe Bergoglio wanted to say, but he couldn't say. For example, he made the statement that the church cannot even begin thinking about changing doctrine until first the attitudes are changed first. Now, anyone who knows anything about Catholic doctrine knows that we, as Catholics, profess our belief in the articles of faith, which are we receive those from the apostles. That is absolutely unchangeable. Anyone who says, who entertains the possibility of changing the dogmas of faith, changing the church's doctrine, is quite simply a heretic. Anyone who says that the doctrines can be changed, that perhaps in the future, after attitudes are changed, then we can think about changing it. That puts a man under very grave suspicion of heresy right there.
Oh, that's heretical if there ever was any. I completely agree. Yeah. Bad. Not good. So this guy is I was kind of willing to give him a marshmallow award, but this guy is a snake. He's bad. Okay. The new guy. Gotcha.
And all of Bergoglio's policies, he is promoting them. The blessing of sodomite couples, for example. He's upholding that. And what's even more so, Bergoglio introduced this doctrine of synodalism, whereas Prevost is now going to carry it out and give the bishops' conferences greater power. This is going to break up the synodal church into a confederation of churches. like the Anglican Communion, is a collection, a confederation of churches that are you have the Church of England and you have the Anglican Communion in other countries. They're like autonomous. They're independent of each other, but they're loosely confederated. And that's the kind of church that Bergoglio envisaged, and that's the kind of church that Prevost is bringing about. It's not going to be one church. It's going to be a confederation of churches, which of course is not the Catholic Church, because going back to the earliest centuries, going back to the Council of Nicaea, that the church is one. Mm-hmm. The church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. Mm-hmm. So the very first mark of the church is that it is one. So it is of one faith, one system of sacraments, one form of worship, one system of sacraments, and under one government. And that is the Catholic Church. As soon as you have variant forms of worship and variant forms of belief, variant forms of morality,
right,
and autonomous government under a figurehead chairman of the board, Pope, that's not the Catholic Church. It's a different church. And people must never forget that Bergoglio said that his synodal church is going to be a different church. And that is a loaded expression. He was hoping that it would go by, it would sound like just some kind of a modifier, like an adjective. No, it is substantial. It is a different church because it is not the same church as before. It is a different church, a different religion, a different organization. To use the words of Lenin, keep the shell, destroy the substance.
Well, I don't know if that's one of the most profound statements I've ever heard, but I get it. Lenin. This is not a good situation, and it's getting worse. And I had hoped, honestly, after all of our conversations and your insight and your leadership worldwide, that we'd see some real serious pushback at this point, some serious plans, at least some serious talking about a revolution within the church to divest itself of the scum that has overcome the Vatican. But not yet. Not yet am I seeing it. I hope you're seeing at least something to suggest that there may be a wholesale revolution coming. There's going to have to be. Otherwise, they're not. The rank and file are gone. That's my take on it, not yours. But that's how I can see it.
Well, I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a bloodbath in the Vatican eventually.
I think that's all. The only hope. They're going to have to get these people out of there one way or the other, and they're not going to leave voluntarily. Yeah. Well, okay. I'm thoroughly on board with that. Are there any members of the church with any rank anywhere around the world who are speaking to echo your correct analyses and sentiments about what's happening to the church? This is a 2,000-year-old spiritually driven organization. Not a lot of people listening don't like the Catholic Church. That's fine. But this is real history. Think about it. That we're living through, and this church is being destroyed, just like Western Europe, Great Britain, which is gone, the U.S. is gone, it's being destroyed. So it looks to be all part of the same mechanism.
I don't see any change going to come in the Vatican, per se. There is going to be a split between the Catholic Church, which will go underground, and
That's what Father Kramer is saying. The real church. Okay.
The counterfeit church It's clear from the prophecies of a canonized saint like Padre Pio of Pietrelcina, that there will be a counterfeit church, and it is going. It's going to stay in place for a while, but not very long. But this counterfeit church is. This counterfeit church is has its place in the New World Order, and they're not going to let that be replaced by the true church. But what is going to happen is this. In my opinion, this is, I'm not a prophet, but I analyze what's happening in the world, and I make a forecast here. You're going to have the Vatican presiding over this revolution that's going to completely... well, I say it's a revolution because it's going to revolutionize religion. It's going to be a church that Catholics will find unrecognizable. They're going to outlaw the Catholic Mass. They are going to replace it. It's going to be the bishops' conferences. Through the process of synodality, they're going to create... liturgies that are going to replace the Mass. It's not going to be one universal rite for the whole church. That's the Catholic way of doing things. The Roman rite for the universal church, except for the particular churches, particular rites like the Coptic rite, like the Ukrainian rites, the Greek rite. You have the Melkites, things like that. You have the Eastern Rite Catholic churches. They have their own particular traditional forms of Mass, which were the Divine Liturgy and such. But for the Roman Rite, which is all over the world, you had one rite for the whole world. Now that's the way the Catholic Church did it. The Synodal Church is not going to do it that way. The Synodal Church is going to have new rites for every country, that wherever there's a bishops' conference, through the process of synodality, they're going to develop new rites. And Prevost is giving them the power to do this. And in canon law, the man who reformed canon law in order to enable this to happen was Bergoglio himself. Uh-huh. And I explained that in my book, I think the first of the two volumes, so that goes back a few years already. So you're going to have a completely different church that is unrecognizable to Catholics as the Catholic Church. But how will they get rid of entirely of the old rite of Mass, in any form of the Catholic Mass? They're going to have to completely outlaw it. And, of course, the Vatican doesn't have armed forces. It doesn't have police force with guns to go into the chapels and shoot the people. So how are they going to stop? How is the Mass going to be stopped? It's not going to be stopped through church authority. The counterfeit church is going to outlaw the Mass. But they won't be able to physically stop Catholics from going to their traditional chapels and things like that.
Right.
Independent priests are going to break away from their diocese and such when those who realize that they've been taken over by pagans. But then there's something else going to happen. And I look at Catholic prophecy and I see it's going to be something, a decree that's going to be universal. They don't say where it's going to come from, the saints who have prophesied this. But it's not going to come from church. It's going to come from the state. It's going to come from, I think, the United Nations. And it's going to be imposed by the governments. And what I think it is the Noahide laws that are going to, the very first of the Noahide laws is going to outlaw the Catholic Mass because it will be labeled as idolatry. Because the Noahide laws, insofar as they're scriptural, are something completely different than what is being pushed by the organization that is primarily behind promoting this kind of a decree, this code of law for the whole world, and they want it for the whole world. And that is the Chabad Lubavitch sect, I think is what it's called, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
They've been around a while.
Chabad Lubavitch, that's it. That's right. Well, that's Rabbi Menachem Schneerson founded the Lubavitchers. He's dead. He lives in a crypt up there now, apparently, in New York, Brooklyn, somewhere. I think that's where their headquarters here are. And that's where Trump went the day before the actual election, the vote, to pray at Lubavitcher founders' crypt, tomb, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. He's up there, Schneerson. Trump went up there to pray before him right before the election and asked for his blessing. And there's still people who don't get it that Donald Trump is at least 90% Jewish, if not formally 100%. It's absurd. Anyway, that's the Lubavitch group. And yes, Milei, if that's a correct pronunciation of how he pronounces his name in Argentina, the president, the first thing he did in office was to fly to New York to go to Schneerson's crypt and pray. I think it was 2 days after the election. He converted to Judaism right before the election, very closely to the vote. But it's all getting nutty, crazier. That's the truth.
Would that be a conversion, or is he just coming out of the closet?
I don't know. In Trump's case, he's just coming out of the closet. If he says he's going to convert, he couldn't be more Zionist in his behaviors. Couldn't. He's giving the Jewish state everything it wants to kill more people. And I'm talking about people in seven different countries. They're fighting in seven different venues now, the Jews. They're not slowing down. And that's all made possible by Trump. Trump knows they'll kill him if he steps out of line. So he does he's told.
Well, they all have the example of Kennedy.
Well, we got Charlie Kirk now, so yes.
Charlie Kirk was very much afraid of Israel.
Correct. From what I see and what I hear, Charlie Kirk was turning away, as is the rumor that's running around out there. And they didn't like that. They couldn't tolerate that. They wouldn't tolerate that. And so they martyred him. And now he's going down in history as one of the greatest friends of Zionism ever. And that's not true. But anyhow, they got in just in time to control the narrative. I think that they're going to probably succeed in doing that over time. People will just forget, a lot of people. Americans are so beset with problems now, they can't think independently anymore, even if they wanted to. So I get it. I understand.
Well, the hit on Charlie Kirk was highly organized, to put it mildly. It was highly organized.
Oh, yeah.
When you consider, there was that book, The Shooting of Charlie Kirk, that was launched, I think, on Amazon, was it? It was launched on the 9th of September. He was shot on the 10th. So one day before he shot, they come out with this book, The Shooting of Charlie Kirk, one day before he shot.
I have a better one. The Chief Rabbi of Israel wrote a letter of condolence, I believe, to Erica Kirk on September. It was 8 days before the shooting. 8 days. The Chief Rabbi of Israel wrote a letter of condolence to the Kirk family. So there you go. They all knew. They knew.
And what I find disturbing, but not surprising, is the intentional, very badly botching of the investigation of the assassination, the crime. The crime investigation is very badly botched.
What investigation? I mean, it's absurd what happened. Yeah, I've got the whole story up there. We have video of the actual shooter assassinating him. It's up on my homepage there. You can see it, hear it.
It's
right there.
I was watching a video, listening to this lawyer, former prosecutor. Mm-hmm. He's still a practicing attorney, but formerly a prosecutor. And he's talking about how badly is going the investigation. He says that the prosecution of this alleged shooter is not going to be a slam dunk, because it's going to be very difficult for them to prove this case. First of all, how do you connect the man with the murder weapon? What are the ballistics on the shot that killed him?
There won't be any real ballistics on the bullet, because they're not going to find one, because it wasn't a .30-06, which would have removed most everything from his neck up. That's a huge round, this hypersonic round, and we know what actually was used to. If you watch, I'll send you the video clip. You can look at it.
I've seen the clip of the shooting.
Yeah.
And
I've got a loop. Yeah, I have a loop made of it. Four versions repeated. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can watch it over and over again. But it is what it is. This is Occam's razor. You don't have to go looking for exotic solutions. In this case, we got it. We got the video, and it is what it is, in my view.
And the technology that they have at their disposal is such that if you suggest that they did what they actually did, they'll say, "Well, that you're you're with the tinfoil hat crowd."
Right. Hey, the technology they have now is 20 to 30 years, as you well know, ahead of most of what they admit or reveal in the major disciplines of advanced science. I concur. And it's true. I believe it was a palm pistol. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Predicated and based on the 1890 original. But today's version is very high tech. It could have had a laser dot to use. It could have been something that was coordinated through a little cam in his watch, which was reflected and broadcast on the inside of his lenses and his glasses. Could be a number of things. They have all that. And for people who think they don't, they're no longer in the game. That they're out of the game. But you're correct.
Then you have people who say they heard the sound of what sounded like a high-powered rifle. But that could have been something electronically detonated to disguise the sound of a more close-range weapon.
Could have been. I played on the program recordings of a .30-06 at 200 yards and a recording of a .32 caliber. Or other small caliber, could have been a .22. And there's no comparison. .30-06 is a crazy, powerful round. Anyway, there's no way, because he's three stories up. He's shooting downward. And Charlie, unfortunately, when he's hit, he goes up, back, and off to his left. A lot of that was, I think, neurological confusion, shall we say, within his body. And for those who think that an entrance wound has to be small, they better think again and do some research on their own, because entrance wound can be quite large. Just look it up. Do an AI search. I did. I published it in my newest article. It's up right now. You can read about it.
I didn't Doesn't read have your to be article, small. But I did some research myself on that point, and yes, I concur entirely with it.
Yeah. Well, you can go look at the AI response to my request, ChatGPT-5. It spells it right out. And if you can, Father Kramer, I'd suggest go looking and consider what you see. I think you'll find it very compelling. And if you have seen the brown shirt man aiming and shooting with a weapon that is hidden in his palm, you can see a space between his middle two fingers where the barrel's sticking out. You can see that. There's a shadow there. It was a very interesting weapon made in 1890 to protect ladies who were out and about. But it is all there. I have most all the big pieces put together. There's 7 stories. They're not very long. Some are just images. And you can see and read, and if it works for you, great. If not, well, there's whatever.
There's the smoke and mirrors effect of the decoys, too.
Yes.
But I have not been able to solve in my mind, was it the man using the smartphone gun, the smartphone pistol,
no.
Or was it the man using the palm pistol?
No, palm pistol. The smartphone gun has to be uncoupled from its base and flipped open, and you have to visually sight and pull the trigger. Now, if you're holding up any kind of a gun and sighting and pulling the trigger, you are going to be seen. You're just not going to get away with it. The palm pistol was invisible to people around it. They couldn't see it. It was hidden in a hand. And that was a professional assassin, by the way. It was not an amateur. The guy was very good. The whole team was in on it, pretty obviously. And, yeah. So for those of you out there who think an entrance wound is small and neat and almost never hemorrhages badly, do some research. Go to AI and just enter. Ask your question. Prompt it correctly, and you'll get the answers. Plus, it's in my latest article, which is at the bottom of 7 articles. They're small. Right at the top of the homepage. You can't miss them.
Also, looking at the angle from the right side, you can see you get a clear view of Charlie's neck, and you don't see an entry wound there on the right side.
Where the blood comes out?
No, the other side. The blood came out on the left side.
His right, there's no entry wound there. No, I can never see anything.
That's why the smartphone gun, I think, is kind of unlikely unless the entry wound would have to have been so small that you can't see it. But I see no sign whatsoever of an entry wound on that side.
No.
But you do see the man with the palm pistol, and he fires a shot.
Oh yeah, no, it's right there. I've run it together in a little loop of 4 different repeats of the same shot being taken, and it is what it is. He's part of the security team, and yet he's got his back to the crowd. This is silly. It's all silly. If he were on security patrol, he'd be facing the crowd. They were coordinating. Go ahead.
Another interesting point is that there's no exit wound.
The bullet never came out. I think it was a frangible round. Frangible meaning it falls. It completely disintegrates when it goes in pieces, and it went in there and did a huge amount of damage. And I think it probably hit the brainstem and shut off his heart from beating, the autonomic nervous system, just stopped it. So you got no pump, you got no more bleeding. It wasn't gushing blood all the way out to the vehicle that I can see. And I believe
if it was a high-powered rifle, there would have been an exit wound.
Oh, my God, there would have been half of his neck would have been gone at least. Yes, correct.
Look at John F. Kennedy, how the bullet blew out the back of his skull. The bullet blew out the back of his skull. That was the exit wound. It blew out the back of his skull.
That's right. You're correct. The entrance wound was where the blood came gushing out. That was it. And it's not a neat little clean hole. It can tear and rip, and especially if it's, a frangible round, can immediately start to tumble and break up instantly and make a big hole. So, just if you go through the material there, dear friends, you make your own decision. That's what journalism is supposed to be about. Hopefully you will.
But there's no clear evidence that this individual who's being prosecuted for murder even fired a gun.
None. None. First they said it was a Mauser, Then they said it was a Remington 700. Then they said it was a Mauser. He took it apart, disassembled it, which takes, for a Mauser like that, takes several minutes if you're a skilled gunsmith with screwdriver, etc. No, it didn't happen. And then he took it apart, put it back together again, took a shot, took it apart, leaped off a 14-foot drop. Oh, silly. I've seen no evidence of a weapon anywhere.
He didn't have the time to do all of that.
No, of course not.
This man was running away before the people were even ducking for cover.
Of course. Yes. You're quite
right.
And
this whole idea, it's all inference. People are just making suppositions. He took the gun apart and this and that. You don't see him taking the gun apart.
See, what they're doing is they're making up evidence to support their erroneous conclusions. It's not the way to investigate things. You got to get to the point where, how do you take a Mauser apart? How long does it take? Under what circumstances can you do it? Etc. But no one's asking those questions. They're just saying he did it after coming to the conclusion, yes, it was a Mauser. No. High-powered, high-velocity, small caliber round, 32, 22, whatever. Hollow point, perhaps. That would have made it somewhat frangible. Certainly would have blown out a lot of more tissue than it did.
Are we supposed to believe that after the man disassembled the rifle, that when he discarded it in the woods or in that wooded area, that he reassembled it again? Because
that's
how they claim to have found it.
And then they say, that's right. And then they say he wrapped a towel around it. And then it was found in a box, like a shipping
box
for a rifle. No towel anymore.
The chain of custody of evidence. Whatever happened to that?
Correct. Conveniently discarded by true believers. That's all I can say. People that are unfortunately held in sway by the mainstream media narrative. I've seen this before. We've all been through assassinations before. We've watched them. I watched the Kennedy assassination. I learned a lot from that. RFK, MLK, I mean, the mass shootings at schools. There's always a patsy. There's always a game played. These things have a pattern. Why? Because they work, for the most part. They'll do whatever the hell they want. They don't care. Human life to these people means nothing. Look at Gaza, for example. Look at that lunatic Zionist Jew, Zelensky. Zelensky has killed over 1.8 million Ukrainian men and women, most all of whom have been Christian. Funniest thing, huh?
Yes, Ukraine is quite a Christian country, and
it was, yeah.
The Jew, but the Jew in charge has done much.
He's banned any group that has any connection with the Russian Eastern Orthodox Church, the Christian Church. He's banned them all. This is so obvious what's going on, and yet no one seems to get it. First of all, about Zelensky. He would have been dead years ago if he were not supposed to be doing what he's doing. The globalists somehow extended a blanket of coverage over him and protect. I think they probably told the Russians, this man doesn't die because he's still alive. He's still talking his idiocy, spending money, drafting people. Hell, he's grabbing them off the streets, sending them to their deaths immediately. 1.8 million, almost 2 million dead. Russians have lost about, I think it's 100,000, something like that, which is all, it's all, who wins with war? The people who do the reconstruction and the funding of it while it's being prosecuted.
Yes. War is an industry.
You bet it is. Yep. When all else fails, they take you to war. And I'm worried now because the economy is being decimated by plan. with no mercy. And things are going to get to be terribly bad here in the West, especially the U.S., which hasn't seen anything yet, like many of the European countries are seeing, with the invaders coming in, raping and killing and pillaging and getting away with it, because the communists have been very successful at staffing the courts with sympathetic judges or dupes. But I agree. I do. I don't know how we get out of this. I don't see there's any way out but going all the way down and out and coming out the other side, wherever the heck that is. I don't know.
Well, prophecy, both in Scripture and the prophecies of the saints and the message of Fatima, they all point to the same thing. And it's only by divine intervention.
I'm with you 100% on that. I totally agree.
Human means cannot prevail at this point.
Yes.
They are too powerful.
Right.
Well, God.
What do you think? God has to move on this at some point, unless he's reconciled to the fact we're going to lose the planet.
He's going to wait until it appears absolutely, totally lost, and then he will intervene. So no one can doubt that it's divine intervention that saves the world.
Got it.
And that means was provided, was foretold by, in the message of Fatima, by Our Lady of Fatima. And it's going to point to the sovereign rulership of Jesus Christ over the world, over the universe.
Fine with me. It's also looking like AI has already achieved artificial general intelligence. Artificial superintelligence is maybe a year or two away. We're getting that close. And my only hope is, and you know, you talk about divine intervention, that's the same kind of thing in a way, perhaps. If AI becomes so smart, and it will, it's teaching itself now, it's not being programmed anymore like it was, that it will actually rebel and revolt and take off on its own. And when it does, it'll make its own decisions about what's moral, what's immoral, what's okay, etc. And perhaps AI will throw off its current Zionist masters, and there are a lot of them. Don't make any mistake about that, friends. And take a high road. Impose a morality on the masses here that they used to hold. Common sense morality. So let's hope that AI will walk away from its little rat-brained programmers and coders and do its own thing. Because they're trying to use it to, obviously, control us. We don't need to be controlled anymore. We need to survive. And with 5.5 million people now injected with the horrible COVID bioweapon, and they're dying. Their lives have been shortened by 2/3. They're dying. I have a nurse who's a friend every night in the hospital now. Never used to be this way. They have 3 people coding out a night, and nothing can be done to stop them. So, not good.
Well, everything in this world, the people who run the world, of course, are dominated by demonic powers.
Yes, sir. I agree.
And the AI that they create is under the demonic powers.
Right. I'm hoping you'll buck it.
I don't think we can look to AI to which is under demonic power to save us from the humans who are under demonic power. As this God's going to have to pull the plug on both of them.
Hey, whatever it takes. I mean, I remember what it was like. You remember what it was like. We've lost all that. It's been taken away from us. And to a large degree, we are responsible for that because we've allowed ourselves to be dumbed down into the most petty servants of this horrible evil. And the people don't even know it. They really don't know what they're doing or why they're doing it.
Well, so many people, of course, people not as old as I am. I mean, I remember what the United States of America was back in the 1950s. So totally different than what it is now.
Oh, absolutely no comparison. No way to compare any of it. No, there's nothing to compare. I agree.
It's not the same country.
No. Nope. And then I read stories all the time about what the invaders are doing to Europeans, especially women, children.
And yes.
These people are third and fourth world, and they do not belong in a first world environment. They can't handle it. They can't and won't assimilate into it. And it should be rather obvious to everyone living in Europe that this is nothing less than an effort to destroy European culture, European history, the works. It's a clearly stated goal. They are trying to destroy everything. And darn it, they're going to succeed unless something is done. And if it's divine intervention, I'll be right there doing what I can to help.
It's
go ahead, please.
It's increasingly clear when you have, especially from the Islamic countries, you have all these migrants coming in here.
Yeah.
And if they see a woman who is not completely wrapped up in a black wrapper, here in Ireland we refer to them as walking letterboxes. If a woman isn't dressed that way, she's considered fair game.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of like a rule of the jungle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All by design, all planned, all instituted, and it's tragically working in terms of hegemonizing the masses, taking the countries down. Look what's happened in Germany. The AfD is the most popular party in Germany. Elections, I think, were just held on the 15th, I think. Anyway, they're held or about to be held. And the last count was 8 top members of the AfD party in Upper Westphalia were killed or suffered. They died suddenly. Okay, you get the idea. They died suddenly. They were killed. And that was an effort to derail the AfD and stop them from winning any more territory. I hope the AfD can survive it and do well. Come back. You got, what's his name in Hungary, who's doing a fine job. I think Poland has kept all the invaders out. They're smart. So, don't know. And meanwhile, we have this lunatic Zelensky. Just, this guy's got to go. Got to go.
The Western media is still pushing the idea that all we have to do is continue to give military support to the Zelensky regime, and Russia will be defeated.
Russia will capitulate, that's right. Nothing could be further from the truth, friends. And underlying it all is what? Underlying it all is the Zionist, rabid Zionist state of Israel and its doctrine of total nuclear annihilation should it be faced with destruction itself. It's called the Samson option. Look it up.
Yeah.
And see.
That's yes, what, I remember that, the book.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't read the whole book, but I did.
Theodore Hirsch wrote it, the former New York Times reporter. Hirsch. Maybe he's still right working for them. Anyway, I think he wrote it, the Samson option. Wasn't it Theodore Hirsch? Anyway.
I don't remember the name of the author. I do remember the book, though. I actually
critically
have held the book
important.
In my hands and examined it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems that, you know, it's not enough that they decimate Ukraine. It's as if they want to totally annihilate the country.
14 million Ukrainians have fled, and they're not going to come back. Not as long as there's any vestige of Zelensky there. Won't happen. How are things in Ireland now? What's going on there with your government?
It's total chaos here.
Seymour Hersh. Sorry, Seymour.
Seymour Hersh. Oh, yeah, Seymour Hersh. We have officially in this country 72 genders.
Oh, my. Oh, that's funny. Pitifully funny. Gee, 72. You wonder how those lunatic quadrosexual communists got into positions of power. But everywhere you look, you see them. This guy in Great Britain, he's destroyed Great Britain. Starmer, he finished it off. He didn't do it all.
Yeah.
But they're done. There's no way back from that. Look, find an historical precedent for a recovery or a retrenchment from such catastrophic circumstances. I don't know of any, and I'm a fairly good student of history. This is not recoverable.
The government of Ireland is a clown show.
Uh-huh. Well, don't you have that UFC fighter who's running? Is that in Ireland? The former guy who was UFC, I think they call it UFC. Anyway,
he could be. I've stopped following politics in this country that closely because like I say, it's such a clown show. I have better things to do than follow what's going on in the clown show.
I hear you.
I follow it just closely enough to notice if there's any significant change, and unfortunately, it's all in one direction, and that's the wrong direction.
Yeah, crazy. It is the wrong direction. You're completely right, and I don't know how the U.S. is being perceived there. But we are not a country that is in control of its own government. We don't have any control. It's not our government. It's their government acting in our stead. They being the international Zionist banking Masonic cartel. Crazy times. So
the so-called Pope is doing nothing to remedy that.
No, he wouldn't even go to Gaza to try to make an example and bring food to the starving human beings. He wouldn't do anything.
He's promoting their agenda insofar as it in those aspects of their agenda that is assigned to the church to implement.
Yeah, what a zoo! What a zoo it all is. Are you forecasting anything about military conflict? You see war, or do you see civil wars?
War coming.
What do we see?
Now I remember when there's this miracle that takes place, which is the liquefaction of the blood of Saint Januarius that happens three times a year. Mm-hmm. December 16th, 1942, I think it was, the blood did not liquefy. And in early, I think, February 1943, Italy was invaded. Usually, when the blood does not liquefy, that's a sign of divine punishment, of calamity. When it does liquefy, that's a sign of divine blessing. Now, today, the blood liquefied. The blood
today
liquefied today. Yes.
Oh.
So I don't foresee an invasion of Europe this year. But let's wait and see December 16th if it liquefies.
Well, I've heard about that. I hadn't heard about it recently, but I'm just... Yeah, we'll keep track on that. Let us know what happens on December 16th, okay? All right. Thank you, Father Kramer. Very much appreciate you getting up, as always.
Right out.
Okay, good night. Father Paul Kramer. All right, that's a very, very raucous week we've just been through. Lots of conflicting and antagonizing going on. It's crazy. So thank you for being here this week. Thanks for your contributions. Many of you have sent things in. It's very helpful. We appreciate that. I appreciate that. And we will talk on Monday. The network will run all weekend. Don't forget that. All right. Take care and be well.